Yep, you got it.
Thank you. But tonight I'm happy to welcome to Many Rivers Books and Tea James Walker. We have a certain common history in that both of us studied in the Korean song tradition. You know, like, so we've had some wonderful exchanges about that common background. There's not many people in America who have that Korean background, so it's wonderful to have you here. And tonight he's going to be giving a talk on the I Ching and the Polar Complete Design.
Paradigm.
Paradigm?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm glad you corrected that because our poster said design. The Polar Complete Paradigm makes much more sense. Thank you. Welcome to Many Rivers.
Thank you. This is my robe. I'm a Buddhist, and I'm a member of the Chokhae Buddhist Order in Korea. Dr. So, who passed away in 1996, has given me his Dharma succession. He was a member of the Korean Senate, as the old tradition of a Buddhist advisor to the king. He was well honored around the world. He used to travel, and I remember one of my trips, he called me up. I was down in L.A. and he said, "I want to go to Magic Mountain." So I took him there, and I saw the sign. It said Revolution Plaza, and it was up this little slope, and I thought, well, let's check this out. And before we knew it, we were in a four-abreast line and going into this twisty white roller coaster. And I don't think he cared for it much, but the instant he set his foot off the platform, out of the car, at the end of the ride, the alarm went off. And as we walked away, we looked over his shoulder, and the car was stuck at the top. The people, they spent a half hour trying to untangle. I said, "Did you do that?" It was just too freaky to me. But anyway, I met Cliff Ma back in 1961, and it was a turning point in my life. He instructed me on Chinese thinking and encouraged me to continue my martial arts. And I want to give you just show you a picture of this. This, it looks like a living thing. It looks like it's doing something. Can you imagine? This is the heart chakra in a calligraphy, and this expresses to me the central point in some of the things we're going to talk about here, and that is the symbolic language as opposed to sign language. H-E-A-R-T doesn't convey any life to me. You know, it's a sign. Symbols, on the other hand, you could see that. That looks like a scope trace you might see in a hospital electronics. That's a living, beating thing. And it was interesting that one of the example my Sifu said was that, you know, a Chinese person wouldn't trust a country whose national symbol is a bird of prey. Just imagine what that would look like to someone reading like this. I mean, can you imagine? So... that was one of my introductions. Symbolic language, he said, the essence of Chinese thinking is that you can convey a whole world of meaning with a gesture or a simple word. And he used the word 1984, which conjures up a whole world of beings, just with a simple word. And that's how he expressed how we try to boil things down to the essence and pass on the essence of something in language. The reason for the I Ching as part of the Dharma teaching here is it's a good exercise for the intuition muscle, which seems to be sorely lacking, excuse my adventures, in the Western culture. I remember when I was getting my teaching credential at Humboldt State, where I had my school, I was getting a credential in teaching because after 9 years in the aerospace, nobody was hiring. And I went up there and started my school, and they started teaching the taxonomy of the cognitive domain. Okay, where's the intuition? Where's, you know? And it seems to me like there's a problem with seeing the world that way, and I'll get around to it. Is anyone familiar to Bruce Holbrook's The Stone Monkey? It's a book I was given, loaned years ago. Bruce Holbrook had a Sifu, and I kind of related to him because it kind of turned him around. He was a Yale anthropologist, and you can see, get it online. It's not currently published, but you can see it online. You can have access to it. I had loaned it to a recent immigrant from the Soviet Union, and he read the book, and he says, you know, this Bruce Holbrook, I'm surprised the CIA hasn't assassinated him by now. It's such a condemnation of the Western culture in his mind, including India, which is part of in this the absolute fragmental paradigm as opposed to the polar complete, Chinese, which resides mainly now in Taiwan. Even in mainland China, it's disappeared pretty much. So it's a very good book. If you get a hold of The Stone Monkey, it's a wonderful book. He grasps different topics and unravels the way we do things versus the way you could see it other ways. And it's very revealing. Anyway, what I'd like to do is maybe read a brief excerpt from from The Stone Monkey to give you a flavor. By the way, did everyone get a handout? Did anyone come in? Now this you'll find also in the Wilhelm Baines edition of the I Ching, as well as online. You can find the whole book on the internet. I just found out recently. The Wilhelm Baines edition is looks like this with the paper cover on it. That's the there's a book a more feminized version that was written by, was it Cleary? There's another I Ching which takes out terms like the superior man and all this that kind of puts down women in the language. So there is another version of the I Ching which I haven't read, but I understand it back in the 70s or 80s, I think. It was around, and I would recommend that, even though I haven't read it. I've read parts of it, and I think it's pretty well done. Since classical Greece, about 2600 years ago, Plato and Aristotle started a new way of thinking in Greece. The paradigm had switched about 2,500 years ago in both China and in Greece. They both had the opposites then, and they both at the same time in history switched. And the absolute fragmental paradigm, I guess one example Holbrook uses is a doctor in our culture is at the height of his power when the patient is as close to death as possible. Doesn't treat a living, you know, the Chinese doctor treats the whole being. In that sense, so that's kind of an example that we pull things apart, but we aren't very good at putting things together. That takes a more intuitive approach to see the wholeness in things, and that's why, again, the I Ching I think is a very good exercise because it forces you to use your intuition when you're reading it to get deep into your psyche and get this symbolic reading out. So I would highly recommend it. There are cards. I don't think anyone's done this before, but I have. He's got one here. This is a deck of the the 64 hexagram with the judgment image and the Chinese character on the back for that particular hexagram. It's a real handy thing for just practicing, you know, reading these as an exercise. But I would highly recommend the book and the commentaries and the treatise in the middle section of the book. It's a very good book. On the contemplation and the use of the Book of Changes. The holy sages instituted the hexagram so that phenomena might be perceived therein. It is not the kind of idealism that artificially imposes an abstract pattern on a life of quite different mode. On the contrary, it embraces the essential meaning of the various situations of life. Thus, we are in a position to shape our lives meaningfully by acting in accordance with order and sequence, and doing, in each case, what the situation requires. In this way, we are equal to every situation because we accept its meaning without resistance, and so we attain peace of soul. Thus, our actions are set in order, and the mind is also satisfied. For when we meditate upon the judgments on the individual lines, we intuitively perceive the interrelationships in the world. What I wanted to do is, because activity is worth more than words, I thought what I'd try to do is to demonstrate how to generate a line. It's a three-stage operation. It takes a little manipulation, and that chart kind of shows you that when you manipulate it three times, you're going to get three of these numbers here. And they, in turn, translate to three other numbers, which when you add them up, you get 6, 7, 8, 9. Sixes and nines are changing lines. Sevens and eights are non-changing lines. So what that means is when you generate a six-line hexagram, you would consult the image of the hexagram. But if you have changing lines, you would consult the judgment on those changes. And after that, you would then create a new hexagram by changing the yin to the yang and yang to the yin for those changing ones, and then consult your new hexagram up to the changing lines. That's pretty much the sequence. Now, it's getting each of those lines built from bottom to top that I'll try to instruct. Now, I notice it's a little too large to have little groups doing the sticks, but what I'll do is first I'll do it right here in front of you all, and hopefully that will be instructive. And then there are two sets out here. I had two extra sets. The first two persons that got here got them, but we can maybe utilize it in the group if you'd like to actually try to manipulate after I show you how to do that. So let's
you want to use this table?
Yeah, just pull this.
But if I put this down here? You can prepare a tablecloth on the table. Does that make it easier? Does it matter?
No, but this will actually be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, in the cans, there are 51 sticks. There's a spare. 50 sticks are used, but one is set aside. So you're really manipulating 49. So
is that narrow?
Mm-hmm. It grows all over the place.
Yeah.
So these, the ones I have here, Don Gilbert and I picked them. We used to, on the weekends, we used to go to a temple in Carmel Valley River Road, off of Robinson Canyon Road somewhere. And on the way, we decided to stop and pick these, and so we had a good old time. So setting the one aside, 49 are used in the manipulation. And you would need a paper and pencil when you're doing it, because you're going to have to record as you go. This is not something you commit too much to memory, so we'll do it. At random, you separate the stick into two piles, and you take one from the right pile and put your pinky and set it down and count off by fours in that left pile, four at a time, until you get four or less remaining, which is that. And then you put in those fingers and set that down and pick up the other half and count off by fours. Five. Okay. Now you set these five down and you recombine these. Gotta write the number down. You generate two more numbers for the same line. We're still on the first line now.
You wrote down five?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then you do the same thing. One in the pinky here, from the right pile, set the right pile down and count off by fours from the left pile until you have four or less remaining. Then you pick up the other half and do the same. Four. You combine that and set that four down or record it. And for a third time, separate the pile randomly. Take one from the right pile and put it in your left pinky and divide by fours. Count off by fours. Four. Thank you. Slippery.
Yep.
Five, four, four. Okay. Now, there's a conversion to make. Fives are equal to three, and fours are equal to three. I won't explain it. It's in the book, but we make the conversion. So really, we have a 3, and 3, and a 3, which is 9. You add the 3 and 3 and 3, which is 9, which is a changing line. And that 9, in other words, 6, 7, 8, 9 now are the four combinations you get when you add three of those. So we got Yang line, and that means it's a changing line. So when you get to the lines, you will consult the first line, the judgment on the first line in that. So that's how I would make the first line. Now you build it up from the bottom and you have a hexagram. On the changing lines, yin or yang, you change them to the opposite and you have a new hexagram, and you consult that image. So that's the routine. And perhaps.
And when you go to the next line, do you bring them all together again?
Bring them all together again, except for the one, the 40. You bring the 49 together again, and you repeat it five more times. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much it, and it's. In the instructions in the back of the book, it's detailed as well as the coin oracle. I like to use the sticks because forces you to take your time to be mindful while you're doing it. So by the time you're ready to do the reading, I think it helps set the stage for a better reading.
It's a long time to keep the nature of the inquiry kind of present. That's not a consideration for you?
But the consideration is that you want to be very detailed and explicit in the details of your question. And, you know, it's amazing how meaningful an answer, in my experience, I've always gotten something that really talks to the situation. So you want to address it first formulate the question, and take a little while to formulate the question. Be a little detailed about it, about your life, something current. Many generals in China never made a move before they first consulted the I Ching. This is very important in their lives. It's very holistic. It's a good medicine.
Do you ever not like the answer and do it again?
The moment has passed. The I Ching is based on a principle called synchronicity. Carl Jung got together with Pauli, a physicist, and they tried to put together a quaternio that satisfied both the postulates of physics and psychology, and they came up with space, time, causality, and synchronicity. Synchronicity is like radioactivity. It's an effect without a cause. It just happens. And the ancients used to think that any two events could be 100 miles apart. If they happened at the same time, there was a meaningful coincidence. This is the principle of synchronicity, acausal connecting principle, meaningful coincidence. So that's the principle governing this type of inquiry.
So in other words, your original divination is in synchronicity with your inquiry,
yeah.
The timing of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I understand too that the kind of statistically what lines you would get and the frequency with which you would get lines is different with the Yarostock versus the coin approach.
There is a difference. I've never used the coins. Maybe once I did it just to see, but I've always been pretty strictly on the sticks. But I do know there are. But one thing. 2 to the 8th power, that's 4,096 permutations of things you can get out of this. So that's quite an array of possibilities. You've got 4,096 possible answers when you do this with the changing lines. So,
in the Yarostock method, it's the statistical distribution is 1, 3, 5, and 7. So for every 7, for 15 draws, 7 of them would be unchanging yin, and only 1 would be a changing yin. So it's much more likely for yang to change than it is for yin to change. And in the coin toss method, the statistical distribution is, I forget exactly what it is, but the changing lines, both changing lines have equal probability, and both static lines have equal probability.
So, in addition to Jung's criticism of the Trinitarian doctrine that's kind of held sway and with leaving out the intuitive, the feminine aspect of it, even Jung said that the Catholic Church had to admit Mary to a heavenly status in 1954 because people prayed, they just had to accept the reality that this exists. I can remember back in the 40s and 50s, whenever the word intuition came up, which to me was a strange word, but it seemed to indicate some inferior function, you know, that, oh no, you know, I mean, so...
It was usually called women's intuition,
yes,
back then.
Yes.
Started.
Yes.
Yeah. So that automatically made it an inferior function, yeah, in the context of society.
Yeah.
So... we're in trouble. We need to fix it. No, I think I'm inspired. I see a lot of stuff happening in various ways that are pointing toward this. Although I wouldn't necessarily charge boldly into the past like I do. That's how Howard Zinn put it. You know, we're trying to get away from the New World Order, but charging boldly in the past is probably not the most suitable. But I think this is a good method to accept, you know, to help you accept life, like you said, comfortably, because it's your intuition you're using here. It's yours. Would anyone like to go through this again, or with the instruction? Do you think you have enough clarity on how to manipulate those? Because, okay.
Let's use an example. Let's do an example.
Well, the whole six lines takes quite a way, but I could do it. Do another line on this.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have time for six lines here. It usually takes me, I spend 40 minutes doing
just to get your hexagram?
Just to, I'm slow.
Well, it's not the exact routine that you go through, because we can get that from the book. I'm really interested in what you have to offer us, mm-hmm. besides that, you know, your knowledge of the I Ching and how you find it useful in your life. And if you could teach us something about a way to approach it, aside from the part that is kind of following by the numbers. Is that a reasonable request?
I think it's a nice request.
Well, I would approach it with a calm mind, mm-hmm. first of all. To me, it's a meditation. I would sit in reverence to the teachings and go through it. I'm afraid to try to put a head on top of the one you already have. In other words, this is not very Zen to tell you what it's going to mean, because it's your it's your truth.
Maybe I didn't make myself clear, but
uh-huh.
it's like the routine part of the methodology
uh-huh.
is something that we can all probably pick up if we're not familiar with it. I was quite interested, if, for example, when you described the time taken with the euro stalks or sticks
mm-hmm.
as when you'd like better, because you settle into the dialogue you're about to have, and I can respect that. I think in this room, I would doubt if there's anyone in this room who never uses any kind of divination tool. This is, it's just the way Sebastopol is. So people in this town are often used to consulting their intuition in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, as the introduction I mentioned, they put together actual conditions of life in this vast array. It's not just things plucked out of the air. This is a very intellectual effort, if you want to call it intellectual, but a very mindful effort, and I have a lot of respect for after meeting my teacher, I just got to mm-hmm. have a lot of respect for the Chinese teachers who at that time I was appreciative, because he said a lot of Chinese teachers won't teach Caucasians because they think they're barbarians. That's the way what they feel, and I had to respect that.
Yeah.
I suppose when I started doing it, I probably did it a few times a week at first, because I was really enthused on getting into it. Yet I still get answers, and even about my journey north when I went to Humboldt. You know, it foretold things that happen. You know, in other words, always related to my life. I got to sometime where a year would go by, because I would only want to do it when something important was going to happen. So it's not very frequent, but when I do, and it's funny that the image that I got back in December when I embarked on my bookmaking, I just turned 70 a few months ago, and I had this heart pacer put in, and I realized that, hey, you know, I better get this stuff written down. I've been collecting all this book work and stuff. So I started in December just racing to get this stuff out. I've been saving all this material. And collecting it and putting it together, so that I felt an urgency to to begin work on it. I was driving, in fact, to Eureka to visit up north, and I went off the road. My heart just stopped. I had a total heart block, and I woke up in the bushes off of 101, about 4 miles north of Ulrich, and I decided that I need to get busy. And one of the image that I got was Ming Yi, means covering of the light, darkening of the light, the dangerous times, keep the light covered because this is danger. And this is what I got back in 1970.
Which hexagram was it? 36?
Don't know the number. It's been
I don't know.
But
it's
got
the one the light is under the dark, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, what is it? 10 over the tree or something. I forgot the exact one, but I got a similar one just in December, very similar to the one I got years ago, and I realized, yeah, things don't happen that fast. There's nothing's changed in the last 40 years, so why should it be different? But it was interesting that I got the similar, a very similar one. It wasn't exactly the same, but the message was the same.
What was your question? Do you have a question, or do you just...
Yeah, it was about my endeavor in coming out and trying to teach now that I've retired after 3 years, and with relationship to the environment that I'm teaching in, you know, what is going on, you know, with me and the environment. Buddhism isn't natural to the country, you know, so sometimes... I even feel resentment from old friends and family that I left just because I went to the other. You know, the other is very important. Has nothing to do with what it is. Even feminine, masculine have its other. It seems to be the thing about it. I get strange reaction. You know, from longtime friends. Suddenly, oh, didn't know you fell off. But yeah, it's interesting. Not much has changed.
You know, I was attracted when I read this little ditty for this evening about the whole idea of polarity, and I wonder that beyond casting it in the feminine and in the masculine, there's the polarity of awareness versus lack of. You know, and I'm wondering if you see the dimension of polarity cast in within those terms also.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. Polarity, this is one of the Ma's instruction to me that Western thinking is linear and Chinese thinking is circular. So it's the Western thinking that puts the opposite ends of the pole in conflict instead of in a circular way where they're harmony. So this is a distinction that, you know, I see in my life. I don't know if I was predisposed when I started because I've had some insights when I was real young of that. Am I going to visit this when I get to be a big person? You know, I mean, I don't know, but I do know that when Ma tried to instill in me this principle and this helped to guide me the I Ching and my moves, because I was making, I got laid off of Aerojet back in 1970 after 9 years. I was an aerospace engineer, and I was free to start my life new. And so this was very helpful because I split to Northern California. I ended up in Arcata, not knowing where I was going to end up. I ended up there because the winter was coming on a little sooner than I thought. I said, I better head over to the coast. And I just I got a job, started teaching, and... And it all went from there. But yeah, this was a good guide. on knowledge. Well, knowledge, you know, the fourth Chinese patriarch was illiterate. You know, he wasn't a knowledge-based person, but the story of the fourth patriarch is that the master had wanted to recognize who was going to take his bowl and his robe, and he wrote a gatha on the wall and said, "I want you disciples to write something down what you think about this," you know. And in the meantime, this guy who was working out in the garden, who was illiterate, went in, and only one other person, the favorite student, was brave enough to even put something down. But he went and said, "What does that say?" He asked somebody to read it for him, and he said, "Well, something about the mirror has to be polished so the dust won't fall." And then this farmer said, "Would you write this up for me? There is no mirror for that," you know. And the master came by and saw it and called him to his room at midnight and said, "Here's my rope and bowl, but get out of town because they're going to want to come and kill you." So he left and go to the south, you know. And so that was a story of the fourth Chinese patriarch who was illiterate. So it's not knowledge. It's not a knowledge-based thing. Chinese do things a little differently. In fact, the introduction to medical school in China is not has not their intellectual ability, but their willingness to serve the people. That's how they get to become a paramedic in China. I've had the Barefoot Doctor's Manual as part of one of my readings years ago, and it talked about the relationship of how they see things. And it's not just intellectual knowledge-based. Any more questions? Yes.
What do you mean by the polar complete paradigm?
Seeing the whole before you see the parts. You know, remember the allegory of the cave, and Socrates was talking about the everything has its essence, so everything has this idea behind the thing. So he separates things into all these little pieces. Yeah. What happens when you miss some pieces and can't put it together? And that's the problem, that when man doesn't have all the tools in his paradigm to survive, and the Western scientists realize that all the scientific knowledge is not contributing to bettering the human person, but actually is doing detrimental things.
So how does that relate to your use of the I Ching and your use of interpreting the answers?
Well, because the polar completeness is in the text, in the I Ching itself.
So every hexagram is complete, you're saying? Or yeah, all 64 hexagrams represent the complete?
A complete thought about your situation.
So
yeah,
single hexagram
represents. Yeah. And the the commentaries really help to explain how they're put together. And I would really recommend reading before you go into the individual lines, if you have the book, to read the middle section first, which are the commentaries and the treatise. It's a smaller section in the middle, and that's very revealing. The way Ba explained it, you know, the Taoists believe that evil spirits travel in straight lines. That's why in their temple they have what they call a spirit screen in front. So you have to go around it to get in the door. And then at the door, there's a 4x4 log sitting there. You have to step over it, because any spirits that happen to get around that corner, they have to go over this. So they purposely design things so the spirits can't get into your front door. That's how they feel about linear thinking. It's that putting things on the opposite end of the poles and producing conflict between them. How best to explain it? I think it's a growing thing with my life, the maturity of the practice and meditating. I think it just matures on you, and it's not something I can dissect, because again we're getting into that again. To me, it helps to train your mind and that is the, nothing can do you more good than a well-directed mind. And that's...
Because you're focused on the question?
Well, or focusing on any practice that you do. In other words, it's not what your practice is that's important. It's that you're paying attention to it when you're doing it. So like Buddhism doesn't say you got to do this. You could be a practicing Christian. If you do it mindfully, that's Zen. You know, to practice, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's that you're doing it mindfully. So the essence is to be mindful. So this forces you to be mindful. In fact, it forces you to even bring up stuff that maybe only dreams bring up.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you don't get the answer because there's the change which brings in the dynamic which reorients, it's a curving line.
Yeah, in some cases you may not get a changing line, and it would be a static situation. But if you get changing line, there's movement, and usually it means that if you are sincere, if you take the judgments of the changing lines, then this is what will yield the second hexagram in a changing situation. So the first hexagram would postulate the present. The changing lines would be, what if, you know, you do this and this, and the second hexagram would be the result after that change is made. Mm-hmm. It's a good template for life. I've seen worse. I was in the education system for a while. I'm sorry. I 6 years in public school teaching, that was enough. Last at Bellflower High School, metal shop. I'm sorry, I'd rather sleep in the bushes than to go back and work for public school anymore. I'm afraid that the reason why kids don't pay attention at school because we're not teaching to the whole person. Who as a whole person, and I bet you we were all more whole when we were young, who would want to sit there the way I see it structured today? Who as a young person would want to sit there? You know, I think we got to cut them some slack and get in some better teaching equipment, in my opinion. I mean, I'm glad I went and did it. I always wanted to be a teacher, so when I went to Humboldt, I realized I couldn't teach physics without a credential, so I went to Humboldt when I had my school and I got my credential. I thought, well, at least I'll have that under my belt, but in the years that came after, I preferred the aerospace industry. I only had to talk to parts, electronics. I didn't have to deal with people. I dealt with things.
Have you used the I Ching to kind of give you advice on which way to go in a certain time of decision? You know, follow this or pursue that relationship or, you know, and have you found if you followed what your intuition told you was advice that it proved out positive or has it ever proved to where you felt it led you astray? That's a lot of questions.
I don't recall it in relationship to relationships except for movement on my behalf of moving from a situation to another, like going north. Like I had no idea what I was heading for. All I knew is there were 200 engineers looking for that one McDonald's job back in 1970 and I wasn't going to hang around there. So I...
And there was something in the I Ching you felt said go north?
I got that message. I don't know if that particular one was in. I had consulted it twice in my movement, but it does tell you it furthers one to find friends in the east or the north or southwest. Okay. So there are, but sometimes those directions mean something else. And mm-hmm. crossing the Great Water, for example, is changing your attitude. You know, it's perseverance. Furthers one to cross the Great Water. Usually what that means is like change your attitude. So it's okay. It's personal advice on those levels and how to think about something as well as it does give warnings about, you know, if this happens, this could happen.
I used it years ago, and I found some absolutely uncanny results with it. I mean, it was so right on, it was scary. But at least on one occasion, it said, yeah, go into this, and whoa. So that's what I was wondering. So I don't know if I misread it, but see, I don't know a lot about if it says, you know, it furthers to cross the great waters. To me, it meant like it's you should travel or you should change something. It would not have occurred to me, I guess, that it meant a change of mind. Is that in the book? I mean, I didn't read Wilhelm's book from cover to cover. I just got into working with it with coins at, you know, back in the early 70s when that was sort of in.
I don't know if Jung said it or it was in the treatise, but I read it. But it was a long time ago. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It could have been in the book.
About so. that might have that meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there are. Yeah. I'm wondering how one learns more about it if it's not in a book. Maybe it isn't.
Well, the Great Treatise is excellent. And I see a lot of websites on the I Ching now. I haven't gone into that. I've got lots of other stuff to
do. Is that the book near Wilhelm's book? I mean, I know the gray Wilhelm's book, the one on the far left. Are those the ones in the middle? Is that what you're talking about? Another book on the table?
I don't know. These are guides to the I Ching. Okay. These are I Ching books.
But that's not what you call the Great Treatise.
It's in the middle section.
Okay, it's in that book.
Now, the first and third are almost identical. But, you know.
Okay.
But.
So you advise reading that central part.
Go to the center part.
Messing around with the end.
Yeah, yeah. That would be helpful.
Thank you. Thank you for your advice.
Would you all like to pick a card and just see what happens when we...
It's faster than working with the yardsticks as far as...
It would be interesting. I would just be interested to know, if you pick a card, whether it has meaning or not to you all. That would be interesting just to see if I held out these cards and had you pick them. I should probably shuffle them a little bit. But I'd be curious to see as a group, you know, how many could relate to what is said.
Cool.
That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah. So do you and ask us to have something in mind before we draw the card? Or?
Yes, please.
A question.
So don't turn it over until you...
Okay. So you're picking it for us.
You know what? Maybe you better pick it yourself.
That would be your intuition.
Oops.
Right?
Upside down. Let's get that up. All right.
God, it's hiding. I think I have used this one up the garden. That's the flavor of the hexagram. And it
Is this something you've made, this deck?
Wow. Yeah, I printed these out four on the sheet, and then I cut them out. I laminated it and cut them out. So, yeah, I did the artwork and printed them on my printer. Of course, not all the recipes work, like the drinking a mercury part, you know, that I have heard that isn't healthy. So I don't take everything seriously, but this part is good. Well, I'm curious, do you relate to it at all? Anybody?
Yeah.
You know, one thing I find interesting with this kind of thing is that here somebody said, what happens if you don't like the answer? That's where we go. We go to places like that. And I sometimes, if we realize that that's what we're doing, we're already blocking everything, you know, by having that kind of... what happens just to be, it has nothing to do whether I like it or not like it, you know. So the situation that I might find myself is what the situation is. But it's so difficult not to filter it through my habitual ways of looking at things, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that when we do this kind of thing, and I do it very, very seldom, and then I forget that I only do it very, very seldom, and I don't do it because, you know, I'm waiting for just an earth-shattering question to have to look at the I Ching, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that maybe some of the preparation is to remember that we're so full of ideas, how things are, they should be, I want them to be, and this and that. And we can help somehow look at it as really it has nothing to do with me. In a certain way, of course, it has, but not in the way that we're accustomed to. No?
Mm-hmm. When you have you seen a correspondence in the kinds of movements you've had in your martial art experience with the hexagram?
Well, I've never consulted it going into the ring, but put it that way.
No, it would be more of an instructional setup.
You know, the Bagua Chuan, Bagua means eight diagrams. It's the boxing style.
Okay.
Bagua means eight diagrams. It's based on everything changes. Nothing stands still. So the dance form, like Tai Chi, once you begin... You don't stop until it's over. And so the idea of the Book of Changes, the changing, relates to the boxing style itself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I recall the founder of the Bagua style, he said his teaching to his students is avoid sharp knives and beautiful women. That was his teaching.
Oh, dear.
But this is where my adventure started with, was martial arts. Yeah. Since I was only 2 inches taller than Napoleon, I thought I better learn a little. So I wrestled in high school and learned some in the Marine Corps and then went from there. But then just meeting this gentleman, Ma, was just a wonderful experience for me. I wish everybody had that. Or Judge Judy. I mean, everybody I tried to get on the Judge Judy website the other day. I wanted to say, please clone her. Every eighth grader needs to spend 5 minutes with her, and the devil can have them after that.
How did you meet your teacher, Ma?
He was a graduate of Berkeley, and I met him at Aerojet in Azusa, where I worked for 9 years.
So it was just one of those serendipitous things.
Yeah, and he introduced me to Ed Parker, who brought a Northern Shaolin style to America, and I took private lessons from Parker in Pasadena, and that started my journey. And then he said, go forth and find a town of this size, and you will be fine. And that's what happened when I went north.
So, I did consult the
I Ching on my travel. I had a couple of interesting dreams, too, before the trip. I always dreamt that I was driving in a car with a hole in it, without a door or something. Something was always missing in it, you know, driving around in a car without a door. But that was a dream. I never could figure that one out. but I would consult it probably on a weekly basis, a couple times a week, you know, in the first weeks, and then I kind of set it aside. I got busy real fast. It was a wonderful experience. I built 29 bedrooms, I believe, in the Creamery building in Arcata in the 70s, and a lot of my students lived there and worked out. We had a regular temple practices there. So folks would come in the morning and we'd have a sitting meditation and yoga class every morning. It was nice. Some of the other books besides the I Ching, which one I really like is the Animal Exercises. So this is helps you to integrate the mental and the body exercise at the same time, and it helps you deal with ailments using one of these five.
So kind of Qigong?
Yeah, it's Qigong. Uh-huh.
That what's called the five animal frolics?
The five animal exercises, and it also the five element theory, water and wood and air, and how they relate and how the organs relate to one another. And that's a great practice. And
the books you're referring to, are those books that you've written that are?
Yeah, those there are 14 books there, and one also is a mental one that helps bring you inward, and it's called the 40 Gates, and it's an inner acupuncture, said to predate acupuncture with the needles, and it. Merely kicking back, once you learned it, when you've got 5 minutes, just close your eyes and you bring your breath through either a single line or a set of lines down here and exhale. And you go through the whole body, and it's a wonderful practice. It's Don Gilbert said that it pulled him through when he had a quadruple bypass surgery. He said when he was laying in the hospital, that helped him. But things like that, that would be a good practice to do before you sitting down to do, or before you do a half hour zazen sitting. This 40 Gates practice is a great 5 minute one to get your center before you embark on that.
So you're breathing through the meridians or something? Or
The first one is you imagine a hair thin tube in all cases, an opening. The first one would be like bringing your breath down through the middle of the body on the inhale, and down at the lower tangent, imagine heat and light exhaling on all directions. And then the second one would be curved down like this. Then the temples, there would be two coming together down through the eyes. Believe me, if you read during the day, when you go home, do this 10 times. Imagine hair-thin tubes, your breath entering both eyeballs, meeting in the back of the throat and going down 2 inches behind and below your navel. Exhale, heat and light, and you'll just feel the tension melting from your head, you know, reading all day. It just really helps melt the tension away. You could feel as you're going through the body places where the continuity, you want to try to keep the continuity even as you're going through it, and you find where there's tension, there's blockage of the continuity, and you could, after practice, you could feel pushing through and relaxing and gaining continuity. That to me would be the best recommended practice before, you know, something like this. It helps collect yourself. That's what the 40 gates does.
So there are 40 separate gates that you inhale to the lower dantian?
Yes, or either a single line like this or a symmetrical pair.
Right.
Even each toe, you know, I mean, the fingers, the wrist, the palms. Some of them are on the surface, some are inside when they go through. But yes, starting from top to bottom. And then when you're done with the 40, try to do all 40 at once. I'm working on
that. A picture of that?
Yeah.
There are all pictures like this that shows the channel where you want to bring the breath and describes how you bring it. So this is 1 through 40. It's starting. This explains how, you know, what it's for, how to do it. And then tells you where to bring the breath. And always ends up here. Yeah. And this is for those into massage. This is a chuakha. That's a ritual self-massage Mongolian warriors use to get rid of fear from their body before going into battle. And it talks about all the zones in the body and what they mean when you have tension in these various spots. So it's a good practice.
Are these books for sale here?
Yeah, this is
cool.
But so here's the five animal exercises here. Eagle, tiger. So yeah, these are all good mindful practices. So in addition to the exercises, then there is the there are a lot of Dharma teachings here as well as they call them the Buddhist rites for the secular humanists. They're the precept ceremony for one wanting to take the 5 or the 10 precepts, and the wedding ceremony and the funeral ceremony that I've assisted in conducting at times. But yeah, those are some of the teachings that we used to practice up at the internal school, and then there are, I think, about 26 more I got on my list. I'm going to actually do the two dance forms, the Bagua, the circle dance, I'm going to do next. I need a photographer. And the Sing Yi. A lot of people do Tai Chi, but these other two dances I've never seen done here in the country. So I'm going to write these down, instruction, show how to hold the postures, and those are my two next books, and then I've got a score of smaller ones to put out. But that's my goal. So a lot of you guys have a lot of experience with the I Ching, and sounds to me, I'm glad. It's great to see you all here. I was wondering, I was told Sebastopol, if it would be here, if it was going to happen.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people around here, a lot of Tai Chi classes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Taoist group here in Sebastopol.
Mm-hmm. Tai Chi classics are there too. There are 3 Tai Chi classics, very good reading, and they're a small book. But that's a wonderful book for Tai Chi students. Well, Jim, do you have some announcements to make? I guess, are there any other comments? Yes.
A sentence is a linear construction. I look at language and how it defines the mindset the movement. And when we're too contained in verbal movement, which I believe is linear, then it becomes more difficult to grasp what is natural, which is circular. Mm-hmm. So it's like instead of moving from the natural to the conceptual or the vocal, we find ourselves stuck in where the word or the linear becomes the point of reference, and which is actually the opposite of what is true, what is real.
Yeah. Well, the Taoists say that conceptual thinking has karmic forming properties, and sometimes we don't. You know, I could look at a hillside, see a little green dot there, and I'll call that a tree, but it's really only a green dot. I'm not looking at a tree. All I can see is a pixel of green. But I'll give it a, because the concept tree, that's what I'm using. So to look at the thing for what it is instead of looking at the concept, that's, it's difficult, I know, because we've been drilled with that, looking at the concept and not the thing for which it is.
And yet strategic thinking has really served us.
Right, and so has our ego. We can't live without it. We have to organize ourselves in the world. But when we don't know the difference that we are, in other words, it's one thing to use it as long as you know what you're doing when you're doing it. That's the mindfulness part of it, I think. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Buffett said, put a little distance between cause and effect. You know, so you don't have to immediately interpret, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a running commentary that keeps us separate from what is happening, isn't it? You know? And sometimes we take for our life the running commentary, the story, you know, and we forget that here we are.
Yeah,
you know, and this is it.
Well, we naturally go around taking what is useful for us to get along. You know, if we're successful today, we're likely to use that same thing tomorrow to survive because we were successful today, and it just propagates. That's what how Jung described the types. You know, when you're born and you find that you're successful today using this function, then tomorrow you're going to use it, and then you get stuck with it, and then this is how types are grow. He talked about the thinking, feeling, sensation, and intuition, the quaternio again, in his typology.
That, I noticed that kind of thinking, where I want to tack down something one day, because it was successful that day, I'm still riding on my success, my productivity, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to have a cycle, a really kind of organic short cycle. Maybe it's the cycle between the new moon and the full moon. I don't know, but I can usually see that. And of course, when I tripped over it, I predict that. Oh yeah, I just wanted to go a little farther, you know, or something. But I'm noticing it's not this long thing that happens over the year, although that I'm sure that can take place and has and probably will again, but at least the cycle feels a little more, I catch myself a little faster, you know, they seem like weak increments instead of, you know, like, oh my God, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you sort of like trying to ride the wave after it's already hit the beach, something like that. I'm not sure. That's the one. But you know, you're in the flow of some kind, and your habit is to extend it farther than the natural sensation of that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's letting the mind take over. It's kind of letting the mind be an umbrella and plucking out what I, you know.
Yeah.
how I think I want to perform rather than what's really going to take place.
Yeah, thinking you have control of the situation.
Right.
One of the things that Ma introduced me to, he said this was at Stanford University. They had two basketball teams. One, they, for a month, they practiced throwing from the free throw line. One team, and the other team would do nothing but sit on the sidelines, imagining them hitting perfect three free throws. At the end of the month, they competed, and the ones that sat and contemplated it beat the other team that physically did that for a month. So he tried to instill with me the idea of how powerful that is.
You can even do that in training and building muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
Do it entirely with your mind. Not that it's not as much as if you were actually lifting weights or something, but I think the figure I've seen was something like it was 30% as effective. Well, that's huge for not moving anything but your mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Zen says. It's all mind, and there are no objects. Everything is subjectivity looking at itself. There are no objects.
Everything is what looking at itself?
Everything is subjectivity looking at itself. There are no objects. It's just the world the way we see.
There's a Japanese Zen master contemporary, although he died a few years ago, he used to call absolute subjectivity, which is a great term, actually. Absolute subjectivity.
Well, I've read now that we're a three-dimensional hologram of some flat reality. What's his name? Hawking and a Russian mathematician got together and calculated the entropy inside a volume is proportional not to the volume, but to the surface area, which implied that there's no information in the room. It's all on the walls. You know, so that's the world we're getting into now. I'm waiting for this experiment, the Higgs particle, to be found. And then I'm waiting for that because that's going to tell us.
Well, just come up with another one I have to find. It's endless. Because it's all conceptual.
Well, it was based on the way Professor Higgs, a Scottish physicist, 34 some years ago, for things to happen the way you think it happened, there had to be this field. And they call it the
right.
Higgs field.
Right.
And since every field has an associated particle, they say all the experiments and mathematics have satisfied this so far, but they haven't seen the particle. And if they do, that means that all this math that had done before, this the Tachomat 5 in China that they're building in 30 years is going to use a bucket of seawater to light up the city, you know, with this thing. And all these things will come if they see that when they collide these things, they're going to see this thing jump up. If they see it, what that means is we're going to have a lot of cheap electricity someday.
Well, no,
so
my point is
our reality is...
There'll be another underlying thing under that they will conceptualize and start looking for. Because, I mean, if you look at the history of physics the last 100 years, that's exactly what they've done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's an interesting process.
Pardon? I'll be happy to get the electricity.
Oh, I don't
know. Yeah, I'll get the, yeah, that's enough. That's all they have
it
to
may
do.
May or may not happen.
So we're all waiting for that.
That's why they invested the money, but, you know, it might not happen.
Well, are there any more comments? And I want to thank you all for coming. This is great.
I was wondering if anybody's hard planted was just a desperate mystery to them.
Oh.
Or if everybody's made sense, or anybody had any questions.
Would you like to comment on some?
Yeah. How was yours?
Okay, well, I asked first.
Leave on.
I got mine. But I just was wondering if there's any mysteries. You know, I was kind of curious about that.
You know, the first Dharma talk, Reverend Gilbert, he talked about how when the Eskimos go fishing, they put a hole in the ice and they're looking in there for the fish, and this guy's over here looking into, he's looking in the same water, you know, they're all looking in the same hole, but you can't make this guy come and look through your little peephole. He's got his own little, so he's trying to say, your truth is your truth, and his truth is his truth. Everybody's got their truth. Everybody, you can't make someone else come and look in that little hole. That's why I never brought it up to start reading it all. It's a personal thing, so I thought I'd leave that optional if you guys want. But it's a personal truth, and everyone has his own truth in that respect.
I asked it like that because I do understand mine, and I was wondering if there was anybody who. It was just like, huh? Everybody seems comfortable.
Good.
It's like reading your horoscope. I mean, it can apply to so many different situations. You can talk about perseverance. You can apply it to anything. It was a part of that.
Mind on perseverance.
most of them have something to do with perseverance. That's really big in teaching.
Increase. Here, and I'm trying to disappear here. I've been giving away a lot of stuff because I want to try to get down to a real small place. I was going to move down to stay with my, I got 5 grandsons down in Southern California. I was going to go down in a few months and start teaching them wrestling. It's time to get hold of them. So, increase. Maybe I got another 30 years in me. That's what I feel, you know. I really don't feel 70 at all. I never have, but this kind of gave me what the doctor said, this thing will, it'll never happen again. So I told my family, I said, they're going to have to give me the smell test to know when I should go down, because it'll tick long after I should be put down. I guarantee I feel pretty good. So.
Thank you.
Well, a wonderful group.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.